Good morning. Well, we're at a good transition point in our reading. For those who are kept up, we are four books into the Torah, and we're ready for number five. So congratulations if you've made it this far, and congratulations, I suppose, even if you haven't. But, we'll have a good starting point tomorrow. So if you've not kept up, this is a great chance to jump back in. And one of the things we tried to do with the reading plan is give really a lot of fresh starts on Mondays, or at least the beginnings of new weeks. So don't feel like you have to just catch up and burn through Leviticus through Numbers before you can start Deuteronomy. Just start fresh in Deuteronomy 1 tomorrow. I know that says Numbers, but it's actually Deuteronomy 1 through 11 this week. But just start fresh, and then if you have sometime go back and reread Leviticus and Numbers, but just jump in and be blown away by the heart and mind of God and His will for Israel at the time, and all the principles that we can learn as we apply that to our lives as well today. This morning, as we continue to think about lessons that tie to our reading and the things we're talking about in class, particularly in light of God's eternal purposes in Jesus, I want to deal with and start to think about. This is not a series that I'll do back to back, but just a subject that I want to come back to time and time again, but something that's really important in the Law and the Prophets and continues into the Gospel as well. But I want to devote most of the time this morning to simply reading from the Scripture. I want to pull together several passages, and I'm going to limit my exposition quite a bit, because I want to do my best to just get out of the way and let God's Word just speak directly to our hearts as best as possible. And so I want to start with a selection of commands from the Torah, specifically from Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. And as I read this, I want you to just see if you can spot the pattern, okay? And then as you do, I think you'll spot it fairly quickly. But when you do, I want you to just think about what this pattern of commands reveals about the heart of God and God's will for His people. You shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or orphan. If you afflict him at all, if he does cry out to me, I will surely hear his cry, and my anger will be kindled, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. That was Exodus 22, 21 through 24. If you lend money to my people, act as a creditor to him. You shall not charge him interest. If you ever take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, you're to return it to him before the sun sets, for that is his covering. It is his cloak for his body. What else shall he sleep in? And it shall come about that when he cries out to me, I will hear him, for I am gracious. That's Exodus 22, 25 through 27. You shall not pervert justice to your needy in his dispute. Keep far from a false charge, and do not kill the innocent or the righteous, for I will not acquit the guilty. You shall not oppress a stranger, since you yourselves know the feelings of a stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. 3 and verse 9. Is it the battery going out or something else? Okay. Sow your land for 6 years and gather in its yield. But in the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, so that the needy of your people may eat. And whatever they leave, the beast of the field may eat. You're to do the same with your vineyard and with your olive grove. Exodus 23, verses 10 through 11. Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am Yahweh your God. Leviticus 19, verses 9 through 10. When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you. You shall love him as yourselves, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh your God. When you reap the harvest of your land, moreover, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor gather the gleaning of your harvest. You're to leave them for the needy and the alien. I am Yahweh your God. It's Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34, and then what I just read, Leviticus 23, verse 22. Now, Israel, what does Yahweh your God require from you but to fear Yahweh, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, to keep Yahweh's commandments and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today, for your good. Behold, to Yahweh your God belong heaven and the highest heaven, the earth and all that's in them. Yet on your fathers did Yahweh God set his affection for them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples as this day. So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer, for Yahweh your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God who does not show partiality, to take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and for the widow, and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien, for you were strangers and aliens in the land of Egypt. You shall fear Yahweh your God. You shall serve him and cling to him, and you shall swear by his name. He is your praise. He is your God. He has done great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen. Deuteronomy 10, verses 16 through 21. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out of all the tithe of your produce in that year, and shall deposit it in your town. The Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance among you, the alien, the orphan, and the widow who are in your town shall come and eat and be satisfied, in order that Yahweh your God may bless you in all the work that your hand will do. Deuteronomy 14, 28 through 29. If there's a poor man with you, one of your brothers, in any of your towns in your land which Yahweh your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor close your hand from your poor brother. But you shall freely open your hand to him and shall generously lend him sufficient for his needs, whatever he lacks. Beware that there's no base thought in your heart, saying the seventh year of remission is near and your eyes hostile towards your poor brother, and you give him nothing, that he may cry to Yahweh against you, and it will be a sin in you. You shall generously give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing Yahweh your God will bless you in all your work and all your undertakings. For the poor will never cease in the land. Therefore I'm commanding you, saying, you shall freely open your hand to your brother, to your needy, to your poor in your land. Deuteronomy 15, 17 through 11. When you make your neighbor a loan of any sort, you shall not enter his house to take his pledge. You shall remain outside, and the man to whom you make the loan shall bring the pledge to you. If he's a poor man, you shall not sleep with his pledge. When the sun goes down, you shall surely return the pledge to him, that he may sleep in his cloak and bless you, and it will be righteousness for you before Yahweh your God. Deuteronomy 24, 10 through 13. You shall not oppress a hired servant, poor and needy, whether one of your countrymen or of your aliens who is in your land, in your towns. You shall give him his wages on his day before the sun sets, for he is poor and sets his heart on it, so that he will not cry out against you to Yahweh and it becomes sin to you. Deuteronomy 24, verses 14 through 15. You shall not pervert the justice due an alien or orphan, nor take a widow's garment in pledge, but you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and that Yahweh your God redeemed you from there. Therefore I'm commanding you to do this thing. Deuteronomy 24, 17 through 18. When you reap your harvest in your field and have forgotten a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the alien, for the orphan, for the widow, in order that Yahweh your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive tree, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the alien, for the orphan, for the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not go over it again. It shall be for the alien, for the orphan, for the widow. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I'm commanding you to do this thing. Deuteronomy 24, 19 and 20, and 21 through 22. Cursed is he who distorts the justice due an alien orphan and widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. Deuteronomy 27:19. Did you catch the pattern? I think probably everyone did. Aliens, orphans, widows, and poor. Just over and over and over and over again. God's instructions for Israel. Aliens, orphans, widows, and poor. These are the vulnerable in society, right? There's several things we could look at in regards to the difference between each one, different facets, different things in their culture and our culture. But the bottom of all this, these are the vulnerable in society. Vulnerable to evil, vulnerable to abuse, oppression, vulnerable to indifference. And Israel was commanded to help them and pursue justice for the vulnerable among them. This is a call to generosity, a call to compassion, a call to concern. We see God has a heart for the hurting. And he calls his people, commands his people, works to cultivate in his people that same kind of heart for the hurting. And so again, just the string of commands that we looked at that all deal with the response to the stranger, alien, the widow, the orphan, the poor. But one of the things, God's law for Israel not only recognized material needs, as we saw in the string of commands that I just read, what we'll see is God's law for Israel also took into account what we might say emotional needs or even more relational needs. Israel was also to welcome the vulnerable into the rest and celebration and joy and blessing of their holy days, their sacred days. Listen to more from the Torah. 6 days you are to work, but on the seventh day you shall cease so that your ox, your donkey may rest, and the son of your female slave, as well as your stranger, may refresh themselves. Exodus 23:12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as Yahweh your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of Yahweh your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant, your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, that Yahweh your God brought you out there by a mighty hand, by an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yahweh your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath. Notice two rounds of instructions for the Sabbath day, and they were to invite the alien among them to share in the rest. That was Deuteronomy 5:12-15. Then you shall celebrate the Feast of Weeks to Yahweh your God with a tribute of a freewill offering of your hand. You shall give just as Yahweh your God blesses you. You shall rejoice before Yahweh your God, you and your son and your daughter and your male and female servants and the Levite who's in your town and the stranger and the orphan and the widow who are in your midst in the place where Yahweh your God chooses to establish his name. You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt. You shall be careful to observe these statutes. Notice the Feast of Weeks. They were to invite others to share in that with them. You shall celebrate the Feast of Booths 7 days after you've gathered in from your threshing floor, your wine vat. You shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter and your male and female servants and the Levite and the stranger and the orphan and the widow who are in your towns. 7 days you shall celebrate a feast to Yahweh your God in the place which Yahweh chooses, because Yahweh your God will bless you in all your produce and all the work of your hands, so you may be altogether joyful. That was Deuteronomy 16:13-15. And if you want to open up your Bibles to this one, Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26. Another instructions for a free will offering, a tithe for the Lord. But listen to the full description here. Deuteronomy 26, beginning in verse 1. Then it shall be when you enter the land which Yahweh your God gives you as an inheritance, and you possess it and live in it, that you take some of the first of all the produce of the ground which you bring in from your land which Yahweh your God gives you, and you shall put in a basket and go to the place where Yahweh, your God, chooses to establish his name. You shall go to the priest who's in office at that time, say to him, I declare this day to Yahweh my God that I've entered the land which Yahweh swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of Yahweh your God. You shall answer and say before Yahweh your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down to Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, but there he's become great, mighty, and a populous nation. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us and imposed hard labor on us. Then we cried to Yahweh, the God of our fathers, and Yahweh heard our voice and saw our affliction and our toil and our oppression. And Yahweh brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror, with signs and wonders. And he's brought us to this place and given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now behold, I've brought the first of the produce of the ground which you, O Yahweh, have given me. And he says, and you shall set it down before Yahweh your God and worship before Yahweh your God. And you and the Levite and the alien who's among you shall rejoice in all the good which Yahweh your God has given you in your household. So you bring this offering celebrating all the provision and abundance that you're enjoying, and you're saying, all these others, come and share in this with me. Rejoice and praise the Lord and give thanks to him for the bounty that he's given us to enjoy. Verse 12, when you have finished paying all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, then you shall give it to the Levite, to the stranger, to the orphan, to the widow, that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. You shall say before Yahweh your God, I've removed the sacred from my house, and also given it to the Levite, to the alien, to the orphan, to the widow, according to all your commandments, which you've commanded me. I've not transgressed or forgotten any of your commandments. I've eaten of it while mourning. I've not eaten of it while mourning, nor have I removed any of it while I was unclean, nor offered any of it to the dead. I've listened to the voice of Yahweh my God. I've done according to all that you've commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel, the ground which you've given us, a land flowing with milk and honey, as you swore to your father. So again, this third year tithe as they were to give to the Levite, right, who didn't have any inheritance or portion in the land, but they were to give it also to the alien, to the widow, and the orphan, that they could share in this and find support and find rejoicing. And so again, they were to help and pursue justice for the vulnerable, but they're also to welcome, receive, share with the vulnerable. This was more than money, right? This was more than material support. This was a welcoming and a sharing. And this wasn't distant benevolence, right? Not just sort of cold giving, okay, yeah, doing charity. This was personal. This was relational. And we think through this, right? It's one thing to open your hand. It's another thing to open your arms, right? And welcome someone and receive someone. It's one thing to open your wallet. It's another thing to open your table, to open your home. It's one thing to serve. It's another thing to welcome and receive, right? You see the difference in those things. It's good to serve. It's also good to welcome and receive someone as a person, as an equal, as someone else made in the image of God. It's one thing to share materials. It's another thing to share experiences. Israel was commanded to meet material needs, but they were also commanded to meet emotional, relational, and ultimately spiritual needs in this as well. And this total call for what we might call a more holistic compassion was rooted in Israel's own identity and experience. Again, listen to just this pattern that emerges as we look at these commands over and over again. He says, you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You yourselves know the feeling of a stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. That first one was Leviticus 19, then that was Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 24, you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, that Yahweh your God redeemed you from there. Therefore I'm commanding you to do this thing. Deuteronomy 24, 18. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. There I'm commanding you to do this thing. Deuteronomy 24, 22. And so over and over and over again, as he commands them to look out to the vulnerable, the hurting, the people who are struggling with all these in all these various ways, he says, remember, that's who you are. That's where you come from. That's you should know this kind of pain and hurt very, very personally. So I'm commanding you to do this. Beyond all this, the call was not only rooted in their own identity and experience. This kind of, again, holistic compassion was rooted in the very heart of God. Listen again to a section from Deuteronomy 10. Yahweh your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. He's saying, this is your God. He's not affected. He's not swayed by bribery. But he sees those who are vulnerable, who are susceptible, especially susceptible to injustice. He's got a heart for them, and he's there. He's in their corner. And so he says, so show your love for the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I don't want to add to that. I want to just let that sit for a little bit. As we just think about just the large pattern of repetitive instructions for Israel to look out for the alien, the orphan, the widow, the poor. There's a lot more that we could say to sort of pull out nuance and to see more practical, specific application. But for now, I'd like us to just be impressed by God's heart for the vulnerable, and let that start to grow in our heart. Here's what I would like to encourage us to do in terms of take home. One is pray. Pray that God would open our eyes to the vulnerable among us and around us. It's easy to live in our bubble. It's easy to stay in our comfort zone. It's easy to live with indifference or ignorance of the pain around us, but pain and injustice is all around us. And if followers of Christ aren't noticing, who is? And if followers of Christ aren't responding, who will? And so what I'd encourage us to do is devote ourselves to pray to God that he would wake us up to meet needs around us and work in us to respond to material needs, relational needs, and ultimately, spiritual needs. This is one thing I want to stir up in us in terms of take home as well. Realizing that for a follower of Christ, indifference is not an option, right? Some have quoted Jesus in John where he'll make the comment, you always have the poor with you, as a sort of justification for indifference towards the material needs of others, the relational needs of others even. Besides the fact that that takes that statement in John out of context, and besides the fact that that ignores virtually the entire Gospel of Luke, we'll set those aside for now, listen to this statement in Deuteronomy. For the poor will never cease in the land. Therefore, I command you, you shall freely open your hand to your brother, to your needy, and the poor in your land. What's God saying here? That's Deuteronomy 15:11. Let me read that again. And think of it particularly in light of the thing Jesus said about you always have the poor with you. The poor will never cease in the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall freely open your hand to your brother, to your needy, and the poor in your land. God says here, more or less, you always have the poor with you. Right? The poor will never cease from the land. You always have the poor with you. But this reality should not lead to indifference, but action. The poor will never cease. He says, therefore, give generously. Give yourself to generosity. Have that open hand. Have that open heart. And so again, as followers of Christ, we just cannot be indifferent to hurt around us. We just can't do it. We can't look and see someone hurting and say, oh, well. We've got to be stirred up to action, to compassion. If we're following Christ, we will be moved to compassion, to concern, to generosity. And then let me say this as far as take home. We need to believe the good news. When we were helpless, Christ died for us. When we were fatherless, God became our father. When we were husbandless, Christ became our husband. When we were poor, Christ became poor so that through his poverty we might become rich. We know what it is to be a stranger, an orphan, a widow, and poor. The same categories of vulnerability are just outlined in the gospel in our own experiences, in our own identity. We weren't slaves in Egypt, but we were slaves. And so again, let that stir us up. We know what it is to be a stranger, an orphan, a widow, and poor. We know what it is to be helped. We know what it is to be welcomed. And so again, let that stir in us. Begin looking for the aliens, the orphans, the widows, the poor around us. And not just live this way, but open up and be ready to. It could be the person you meet in the grocery store, the checkout line, where you just, hey, how's your day? And you just hear that sense in her voice, it's not good. How will we respond with follow-up conversation? Again, illustrations just could abound, but just let's let these things be our take-home for now. Let's pray about this. Let's realize and know deep within us indifference is not an option. Let's believe the good news. Let's believe the gospel and start to let that show in our lives. So again, this is just an introduction to a very important biblical subject, something that just permeates, dominates so much of the scriptures, barely scratched the surface on some of these things. I'd like to sometime walk through some of the specific commands in more depth to draw out some of the principles. But again, for now, just want us to be impressed by the heart of God for those who are hurting and vulnerable. And so let's let this just seed grow in our hearts that it ultimately would bear fruit in our lives for his glory. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise you and are so humbled by your amazing love and generosity. When we were helpless, Christ died for us. As orphans, you adopted us, that we can call you our Father and that we can become a co-heir with Christ of the glory that awaits us and receive full rights and inheritance and blessing and privileges of being your children. That as his church, we are now considered the bride of Christ. And in our deep, deep poverty, Jesus emptied himself of all wealth and riches and glory to share in our poverty with us, and even more in his death on the cross, that we would become rich. Please help us to have a deep awareness of our own needs before you, and a deep awareness of how you have worked to meet our needs and bring us from death to life and raise us up to be seated in the heavenlies and sharing in all the blessing and privilege that goes with being your children. Help us to have a deep knowledge of your love and your grace, and stir us up. And may it flow out of us. As Scott was talking about filling our cup, that it would overflow. May that overflow bless so many others to not just meet material needs, but to reveal the source of all blessing in life and draw others to you. May others know your love and know of your beautiful, powerful reign through our own lives, the way we live, the way we speak. May we always be ready to share the good news that Jesus is Lord, reigning, that he's overcome sin and death and Satan to bring us to you. Please help us as a family to stir each other up to love and good works, to grow more and more in our knowledge of you and bear fruit in our lives for your glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, we'll sing a song of invitation now. And if there's anything that you need at this time, if you want prayers, prayers for sin in your life, or just prayers for encouragement and help, or if you're ready to put on Christ in baptism, we want to help you in that as well. If there's anything we can do, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Let us haste, oh haste, to its spring. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and it bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam from the throne of life. Now it flows. Let the waters roll. Let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Please be seated. Thank you all for being here this morning. What a blessing to be together. And Mike Ferguson is going to lead us in a word of prayer before we close after a few family updates. First of all, thank you, Mike, for that reminder.